Think of the British and European film dramas you've seen in the last few decades. Juliette Binoche was probably in a lot of them. The Unbearable Lightness of Being, Wuthering Heights, The English Patient, Chocolat, Cachet. She is the go-to actress for roles that are sensual but are supposed to have complexity and gravitas. Her latest film, Clouds of Sils Maria, is a very sly meta-movie where reality blurs with fiction. Binoche plays Maria Enders, a French movie star whose breakthrough role in the 1980s was as a young, ambitious girl. Kind of like Juliette Binoche. And now, many years later in the movie, that character, Maria, is asked to appear in the same play, but now as the older woman. Kind of like Juliette Binoche in this film.
I played Sigrid when I was 18.
And because you were Sigrid, only you can be Helena now.
And the play tells a simple story. An older woman falls in love with a scheming girl that has her wrapped around her little finger. The girl takes advantage of her, squeezes everything she can out of her, then dumps her.
It's called The Real World. Welcome.
Kristen Stewart plays the assistant. Chloe Grace Moretz plays the young actress. And I spoke with the star, Juliette Binoche, a few months ago. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
I understand that you had the germ of an idea for this film, and you went to Olivier Assayas with it. Is that right?
Yes. I phoned him one day, and I said, you know what? I think you should write about the feminine. We need women on screen. And I thought of those three characters and having three points of view and them exchanging roles, actually. And I
sounds kind of abstract as an idea.
Yes, but at the same time, I felt like because I had worked with him before, you know, in Summer Hours, and he's such a wonderful writer, I thought, you know, Olivier is the person I'd like to do the film with.
Yeah, is why you call this guy up and say, hey, I have this idea. Write me a movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's an invitation to writing. It's not like, write me this movie. You know, it doesn't happen like that. It has to be a little more subtle.
I understand. You seduced him. Figuratively
you
speaking.
You know, seduction in English is not the same meaning as séduction in French.
I know. I'm using
it's
the French
different.
Version.
Do you know what it is?
It doesn't necessarily mean sexual seduction.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Very good. You speak French?
No, but I can pretend. At one point in the movie, there's a very funny scene where you and your personal assistant, the Kristen Stewart character, are watching this ridiculous, made-up, Hollywood-style outer space movie. I want to play a little bit of that.
My eyes stayed because of you, but I could feel my brain cells dying one by one.
Okay, but you don't find her amazing? I think she's totally fascinating.
It's such a stupid character. Come on.
Because it takes place on a spaceship? I know that if it was set on an assembly line or like a farm or something, you'd love it.
That's true. I have a hard time taking bimbos in astronaut suits, mouthing off some generic pop psychology. Seriously, been there, done that.
That was Juliette Binoche and Kristen Stewart in The Clouds of Sils Maria. Been there, done that. A lot has been made over the years of the fact that you turned down a role in Jurassic Park and turned down a role in Mission Impossible and turned down a role in some Indiana Jones sequel. So this year, shockingly, you show up in Godzilla.
Yes.
Did you change your mind about Hollywood?
Well, first of all, it started with a letter of Gareth Edwards, the director. And I was touched by his words and his demand. And I said, my son, you know, oh, guess what? And
he's got a 20-year-old son.
Yeah, and he loves Godzilla. So in a way, it was from him, but not only. It's because it was fun for me to be in something new.
Uh-huh.
And also it was great prep for Sils Maria.
How so?
Well, because it was just before I shot Sils Maria. And I'm saying, been there, done that.
Oh, I see. You had been there. I see. The fiction and reality just don't stop blurring.
You know, things come to you in a mysterious way. And sometimes you say, that's it. That's what I needed to do.
In order to say that line believably, you had to be in Godzilla.
Exactly.
There's a kind of thread, or at least a motif, in a lot of your early movies of young women who are quiet and very sexual and often appear without their clothes on. And then there's a role like Damage, where you're both – your body is shown. And you're a very silent, cryptic character as well. That must be tough, because it's one thing to be figuratively, mentally naked, exposing the – you know, the character inside while you are being naked. I would think that would be especially difficult.
Well, acting is difficult. Actually, when you use as an object in a film, as a woman as an object in a film, that becomes a problem. But when you're a subject going through love or, you know, whatever, you know, you need to go through, then it's, for me, it's another story. It's like paintings without nudity. It wouldn't be, you know, the history of painting. It's part of, you know, what art is and what human being is. We don't, you know, we don't come to the earth fully clothed. We're naked. There's something about being bare that is very, makes you vulnerable and truthful.
Mm-hmm.
So, but how it's used can be tricky. And that's how, you know, as actors and actresses especially, you've got to be intelligent. You know, it happened even in Blue, Kieslowski, who's, you know, one of the greatest directors. And there was a scene where I was supposed to walk naked in the room. And I said, why do you need me naked? And he didn't really know what to answer. And I say, do you know how many questions I have about nakedness and how difficult it is? It's a weight for me and I don't need it. And after a while, he came back to me and said, we won't do it. When uh-huh. it's necessary
uh-huh.
for the storytelling, when I feel like, yeah, she's exposed, she's in love. Yes, I go for it because I think it's part of life.
Yeah. You won an Academy Award for The English Patient, where you played a nurse who looks after this horribly burned man at the end of World War II. I'm going to play a bit of that.
What was all that banging? Were you fighting rats or the entire German army?
Nope. I was repairing the stairs. I found a library. And the books were very useful.
Before you find too many uses for those books, you might read some to me.
I think they're all in Italian, but I'll look, yes. What about your own book?
You have won a zillion awards, Best Actress at Cannes and Berlin and Venice and the Caesar in France. Was winning an Oscar just another award, or was that a special thing?
Of course it was a special thing, but I didn't believe I was going to get anything. And so when they called me, I was very surprised, and I was ready to give it to Lorraine Bacall. Everybody was expecting she was going to get it. And yet she didn't, you know, she didn't stand up, she didn't come. So I thought, you know, in a few seconds, okay, I'll keep it then.
And then the next day you just went back to work? Or did it?
No, I was fully
happy.
Did it
change your career? Did you get offered more things?
Well, I was during that period of time, I was offered quite a lot of things. But just, I think probably by a way of protecting myself, I went back to Europe. To
avoid going Hollywood?
No, because there's a sense of guilt, you know, when you're successful in France. And and so I think I was going through my guilt. Huh. I was hiding a little bit.
Huh. You have worked with a lot of great directors like Kieslowski, like Godard, like Anthony Minghella. Given how obviously interested you are in this ineffable relationship between directors and actors and the process of filmmaking, I'm surprised you haven't made a film as a director.
I'm surprised too. Well, of course I've been thinking about it. But at the same time, I have to say that I've been working with so many great directors that really allow me to be part of the direction. And I love staying on set. I think that's really has been a key for me, that instead of going away in the trailer or going in a dressing room, wherever, you stay on set and you see what's going on and how the shot is going to be, you know, decided.
So you've had all the training. You've stuck around the set. You can do it tomorrow.
Yeah, but you have to choose the subject you want to say. You know, that's mainly what it is, because putting a camera, it's not that difficult. It's like, how do you want to tell the story? And, you know, that's the real thing.
You have, I discovered, painted for most of your life. Really nice portraits, by the way. Some of these your paintings appeared in a movie you did last year called Words and Pictures. Why do you paint?
Why not?
Well, because you've got lots of stuff to do, or not.
No, it's just that as I remember my mother, we didn't have a lot of money, but there was a moment she earned some money. She wrote some
books. She was an artist, right?
Yeah. She bought 100 books of paintings and sculpting. And so I got passionate about those books, and every weekend I would take one or two and I would copy, because I wanted to enter those paintings. I wanted to enter those sculptures.
Well, I'm eager to see your next films. I'm eager to see more art. Julie Binoche, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Juliette Binoche's new film, The Clouds of Sils Maria, is out in theaters right now.